Hello, hello. Welcome on to Branded. This is the podcast that takes you behind the scenes and beyond the brand to give you the clarity and confidence to challenge the status quo and show the fuck up in your own life. Dr. Kimberly Olsen is here with us today. All the screams and yells in class. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so honored that you said yes, and I cannot wait to have this discussion with you.
Awesome. Of course.
So let me give a little brief insight into who Dr. Kimberly Olsen is, if nobody is familiar, which, I mean, are you living under a rock if you don't know who she is?
But
Kimberly, so she's a self-made millionaire. She's also the creator of the Gold Digger Girl Co. She serves female entrepreneurs by teaching them simple systems and online strategies in sales and marketing. She's got an incredible list of accomplishments, and I'm going to put everything in the show notes for you guys because we're going to dig into the juicy bits. But honestly, I really want to say, like, holy smokes, it's been almost 1 year to the day that I took your podcast in a day masterclass, and look what 1 year of progress can be.
Oh my gosh. It's just like, it just warms my heart, you know, and it just, it's, it, people watching you should say like, okay, this is possible for me, you know, because you didn't have your brand figured out and, you know, you put in all the work to create this and you're just cool all in with what you do, Sarah. Like, it's just, it's really commendable.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, honestly, you were one of the first mentors that I looked towards in the business space and especially the online space because I did not know what I was doing. And honestly, I actually came across you for the very first time, I'm pretty sure by accident, by binge listening to your podcast.
Wow, that's really cool. It's like a full circle moment.
I know, right? And I was just listening and listening and deciding, okay, let me go follow her. Let me see what's up. And then I started diving into like some of your free courses and masterclasses and things like that. And then of course I got into your programs and it's all just become like a really incredible relationship mm-hmm. as like friends, but also yeah. as a mentor and student kind of thing too. So it's just been really beautiful to know that there's people out there that are supporting women and building businesses and you're one yes. of them. I love it.
Thank you.
So first, before we talk about like, obviously you've been on TEDx stages, you've shared stages with really incredible people. You've got a nonprofit, the Elephant Sisters. And of course, I've created a multi-million dollar coaching business. But what I want to first talk about is like, who was Kimberly before all those things?
Oh, geez.
We're getting hungover, behind the scenes here.
Hungover, stressed out mom who's like, okay, what is happening right now? Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, it just takes, it's so much self-development that is required to have success in anything. I know you've done network marketing too. It's like people think that we need to have the perfect social media post or a brand. And it really comes down to how you see yourself. Cause we've all seen people who out of nowhere, seemingly, they just like blow up their audience and climb the ranks and all of the things. And you're like, what? They're very self-confident people. You know, they've done that work. So before I did this work, I had like a decade long of alcohol abuse. It runs in my family. And I had tried online marketing. I actually got into it in 2011. I had a blog and a YouTube channel and I lost money doing that for years. I didn't actually profit. I think I was in the red like 3 years in a row. I don't know why I didn't quit. I just kept feeling like I wanted so badly to be an entrepreneur. Like I just wanted to call the shots and I don't do well with authority. I always have better ideas than a boss. And so it was really hard for me. And I don't know. I could feel it. Like I could do this, but I just was struggling. So I finally got to a point where I was having a little bit of success. And I realized that I really needed to work on myself to break through because I had all these limiting beliefs. And so I would just kind of self-sabotage. Like I'd get a little progress, make some money, and then I would just either spend it all or I would stop working on my business. So I enlisted professional support. And that's why I think coaching is so great. But it was really learning how to work on myself every day. So it sounds silly, but like affirmations and like journaling and just reprogramming my subconscious mind to see myself different and really like build a new identity. And so what you see here is built. I've built who I am and stripping myself all the way down to who am I and you know, what do I want to do in this world? How do I want to show up? And I have to see myself valuable before anyone else will. And so I really worked on my self-worth, and it took a long, like months and months of work. And it slowly, I was like starting to see like, yeah, you can help people. You're awesome. You're a badass. Every day I wake up, I'm like, you're a badass. Go crush today versus the day crushing me. So I overcame the alcohol, all of that, but just the limiting beliefs, the self-sabotage. And so in 2017 is when I started doing social media, started going live. I launched my brand that spring. And, as they say, the rest is history, but just kept growing and growing and growing. And I'm so grateful that I took that time to work on myself, because I just don't know what the story would be if I hadn't done that.
Same, actually. And I think when you're kind of going through that part of the journey where you haven't quite reached a point of clarity yet, or like knowingness, or really even trusting yourself, it's easy to question the journey and be like, I don't know, is it even working? Like, yes. Should I do this today? Should I bother journaling or meditating, yes, or any of the things? Because it can feel redundant and like yes, not progressive, I guess.
It was not fun. No.
Yeah.
And I felt so fake because I'm like, I'm amazing. I'm an amazing mom. I'm really good at what I do. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I suck. You know? So it's like kind of fake for a little bit, like fake it till you make it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm really like, I was just, I guess when they say you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, like I was just so over it. You know, I just didn't want to wake up every day feeling like a loser. And, you know, I wasn't a good mom. That was probably the hardest part, you know, is, or wife, like feeling like I wasn't really present with my family. Like, I think that really fueled me just to be like, okay, this is impacting other people too. And that kept me going.
Yeah. See, and I think that's something that we don't often realize is that we get so stuck in our own cycle of like self-sabotage that we don't recognize how it's like spilling out into our everyday life. Yeah. And, but we're just so wrapped up in it that we don't see how much it really affects other people. And yeah, I mean, prior to 3 years ago, before I started my own journey into entrepreneurship, like I kind of feel like when I look back at that time, like I remember who I was, but it's so far from who I am now that it's like this crazy thing to even think that I was living as this. It was like I was sleepwalking or something. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. When I look back, I remember who I was, but I don't have moments of like excitement or your happiness, mm-hmm, or joy. Like, I don't have any recollection of having those in the last decade. And I'm like, was I fucking asleep? Wow. Like, what was I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like, you're really self-centered and not like, oh, I'm the world. No, it's like, you're just so self-absorbed. Yeah. Self-absorbed is a better word. Like, you're not even realizing like the implications, but even that, the self-awareness too, to say, am I happy? Am I joyful? Is this working? What do I want in life? You know, it's more like surviving almost. And also, yeah, everybody around you is kind of doing that. So it just seems normal, right? Mm-hmm. And you get around a bunch of entrepreneurs and it doesn't seem so normal. That's why we need to.
Now it's not the norm. Now I look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, let me help you.
Yeah, let's level up. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was one of the first things that you dove into when you were, was it like journaling? Was that one of the first things? There something that really stuck for you that helped kind of kick your ass into gear?
Yeah, totally. So I worked with a therapist, but she had like these different modalities. So she would do hypnosis. I did hypnosis sessions with her, which is almost like a really kind of dreamy meditation. So you're like on the edge of like falling asleep. But she would say, okay, what do you want me to program into your subconscious mind? And it was always abundance. Every time I'm like, abundance. She's like, okay, we just did that, but okay. And so she would kind of like talk me down like a meditation, and she would be speaking to my subconscious mind, because that's what meditation is you're basically like rewiring by that repetition, obviously, but you're in a different like kind of state of being to absorb it and let it sink in and come in. So I did that consistently. I would do a call with her just to talk through, you know, things that were happening. And then every morning I would just write my intentions of how I wanted the day to go before the day would happen. So, you know, you think about intentions, but every day I was like, and today, and I would just kind of forecast what I wanted the day to be. And then I wrote a whole page of I am, and just, I'm amazing, all the things. And what else did I do? Oh, and I really think that getting those visuals, like your vision board or whatever it is for you, getting the visuals of what you want your life to look like. I was visualizing myself having a team and people wanting to do business with me and building a brand and all that kind of stuff. But that kind of, that came a little bit after just that, like, just foundational self-healing of like, I am good, I am worthy. Then I started to like hope a little bit more and dream like I could be somebody that could make a difference. So I think fundamentally it's just really, how do you think of yourself? You know, what's your self-identity? And I have, you've met my girls and they're very different. And Addison is not quite as self-assured. So if we were going to get her in front of people, she would be nervous and shy and wouldn't want the attention. Where Elise looks in the mirror and she says, oh my gosh, mommy, I'm so pretty. And I thought, that is, oh no, I'm raising a diva. And my best friend's like, no, you're not. She's like, don't you wish we were all like that? Like, that's awesome. Like, she thinks she's the shit. I'm like, oh, you're right. You know? So yeah. How do you think of yourself? You know, that's what this comes down to. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what Sarah thinks. It's how do you see yourself in this world? And you're going to, whatever you think of yourself is how you're going to show up. It's the vibe, it's the energy. So it really does start with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really does start with kind of like you said, the fake it till you make it. In a sense, it's like you kind of have to decide for yourself, okay, who's like the person I'm growing into? Yeah. I know I'm not her yet. So what would she be doing? And then you do your very best to just embody that. And then all of a sudden one day and you're like, whoa, I'm her.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I've physically seen you do that just with your brand and your imagery and your graphics and just how you go about just sort of how you carry yourself. And that's literally why you and I have such a passion for branding is because a brand is basically you have to start with, well, what is the brand? It doesn't mean you're that yet. It doesn't mean, you know, maybe you're launching something. You have to build out the brand for it that isn't even in existence, but you get to decide, okay, what is it? What's the energy? What's the vibe? What's it look like? And then guess what happens? If you say that's your brand, then you're going to become that. Like you have to start with something. So yeah, it's cool to see it in action.
Yeah. So that actually leads me to something I wanted to talk about with you because I'm in branding and you're a branding boss and all the things. So I really did want to spend a little bit of time on branding. And what I specifically want to ask you is when you think of your brand, the Gold Digger Girl, and you think of the evolution of the brand, can you share like what it's looked like and felt like for you to experience that evolution? Because I think a lot of people with branding in particular, they can get really stuck in like the perfectionism of, oh, I'm not it yet. It's not, you know what I mean? You know what I mean when I'm saying the perfectionism of it. And then they don't give themselves permission to like play with it and allow it to evolve. And so what is that like evolution of your brand? What's that been like?
Oh gosh, you don't even want to know what it was like when I started. So I think people do get hung up in overthinking or analysis paralysis, or they want it to be perfect before actually doing anything. I've been the opposite where I would leap before the net was there and definitely was not ready for the things I launched and did. And no one's going to give you permission. No one's going to like show up at your house and be like, okay, you're ready. Like it's not happening. You have to just say, I'm going to go. And when I launched my first bootcamp, I didn't have a website or a landing page or anything. And I had like, let's say like 30 people and they were like, how do we get in? And I was like, oh, you can just PayPal me. Like it was super in my first website, it looked like it said the Goat Digger Girl because the L looked like a T. And my brother's like, what is this? The Goat Digger Girl. And I was like, oh, it's my brand. So you know what? Who cares? Because by me putting that website out there, I'm like, yeah, I got my brand and my website that built my confidence up. Right. Or the PayPal thing. I realized, okay, that wasn't very smooth. What can I do next time? And then I learned about like automating the payment processor. But what if I would have waited until I had this beautiful website built out and I had all the links and the payments and all the things? It would have taken another 3 to 6 months. Well, we don't know what would have happened. Like that was my time, you know, your time is now.
Yeah. And that's such a great point to make. And when I have consultation calls with my clients and they're talking about doing all the things. And then I ask them, well, who is it that you're talking to? How do you want people to feel when they come across your brand and your business and your offers? And they're like, I'm not sure. I'm like, okay, so we have a little bit of work to do first. Like, we have to talk about those things. You know, it's not all about the fonts and the colors and the techie stuff and the landing pages. Like, those things will come, but you don't have to start there. And you really shouldn't start there, because in more times than not, you're going to spend all this energy, time, money, maybe, if it's not your forte to do the design work or the tech stuff. And then 3 months down the road, or probably sooner, you're going to have pivoted, that something's going to have changed, and you're going to be like, well, shit, I just spent this money. Now I got to change it. So I mean, I'm with you, like, take action. And I do think, you know, that's one of the reasons that my business is where it is right now, is because I've kind of just taken messy action. And at face value, it hasn't probably looked super messy, but, you know, we're our worst critics. And so I can see kind of where all the holes are. And then, like you said, you send the PayPal link and you're like, well, that was kind of clunky. I could have done that better. Let me figure out a better way. But I remember the first time I sent a payment link from like Venmo or PayPal or Stripe or something. And I'm like, I'm a business owner. This is amazing.
It's so real.
Yeah. It's so exciting to just start taking action. And that's honestly a really fantastic quality that I got out of your programs, because you really encourage people. Like, what's your hashtag? Get lit. Mm-hmm. You have to implement.
Perfection.
Yes. You have to implement. If you're not implementing the things you're learning, it's doing you no good. Like,
Yeah, it's so true. And with the brand work, you know, and that's what's so cool about what you do, is that question of like, what do you want the experience to be? This work that we're doing as far as running our businesses, I think sometimes people just sort of spin their wheels and feel like they're not making progress, is because they're not pausing to actually figure out what their brand is, like who they are, who they serve, how they help them. Like, they're not even doing those fundamental things. So if you don't do those fundamental things, then how do you know what your content is? Because you don't know who you're even talking to. And then if you don't know who you're talking to, your messaging is not going to land, because you haven't figured that out. So the very core of building online, whether it's social media or more traditional, I feel like the branding piece has to be first. I really do. Of course, the mindset. But I really think that, you know, spending the time to figure out the brand is essential for everything else to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. It really, for me, I think the steps are like, you work on yourself first so you can start to understand yourself and trust yourself. But then you have to work on the brand side of it, which is such a reflection of you. And if you're not healing yourself and doing that kind of inner work, I mean, you might end up with a kind of janky looking brand, because it's a reflection of you not willing to do, you know, heal yourself from the inside out. And I think a lot of me. Exactly. Like, authenticity. Okay. So I was having a conversation with Victoria Dume. Her podcast is airing recently, or like airing soon. And we were talking about authenticity, and her perspective on it was really good. She was like, you know, it's not really about like, oh, I show up and this is me, this is who I am. She's like, no, it's literally in every aspect of your life, like who you show up with, your husband, how you show up on social media, how you show up in real life when you're going to have drinks with friends. Like, who is that person? And are you really like honoring your boundaries that you set and all the things? So it's really not about just this one piece of authenticity. It's like a full, well-rounded view of the human. And I was like, yes, that's so true. I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, if you guys are building online and you have a brand, but it's just not seeming to land with people, it could be because what you're putting out there, and like we talked about, we both have evolved, and we keep wanting our branding to improve as we evolve. But if it's just not landing, or you feel really disconnected from it, it could be because the work that you need to do on yourself isn't matching it. So you must feel like a fraud a little bit, or you are just figuring out exactly like who you are and what makes you happy and your passion, and really serving and helping people instead of picking a niche or a brand that like you think will make you money. It's like really true that if you were asked to, you know, guest speak somewhere and you could speak on anything and to help people, what would you pick? You know? And I think sometimes people start with their network marketing product or whatever it is, and then they're trying to build around that. And I'm like, no, let's just build around you, you know, and not everybody's comfortable with that. So it does start with working on yourself and just figuring out, you know, what lights you up at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately in our day-to-day lives, I don't think we're given a lot of opportunities to be like openly asked, like, well, what does make you happy? What is the thing that you would like to do? If money was no object, if there was, you know, you didn't worry about the how, what is the thing you would love to do? And I guarantee a large portion of, you know, women, especially, they'd be like, I just don't know. Because they got to think about their kids. They got to think about their husband. They got to think about all the logistical things. It's like, stop it. Stop it. You're not giving yourself, you know, room to dream.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's, I guess it's like the $1 million question, right? What do you want to do with your life? But really, you know, if we're at a point where in our programs or you're working with a client asking, okay, like, who do you want to work with? It's a hiccup for people. They get hung up on it. So it's just really, really important for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I got hung up on it too. I remember it being one of the most frustrating parts of my journey in the beginning because I felt so lost. And so if like anybody is feeling that way, like, why do I just keep coming back to who's my dream client? Who's my dream client? And you just can't land on it. You have to just keep digging. Like it's there, she's there, he's there, whatever, whoever it is, right? But don't get frustrated in it because I did get a little bit like, okay, I got to drop this. I'll come back to it later. But it was one of those things where I really just needed to dig in a little bit further. And it's an ongoing thing. I actually just had a moment of like revelation the other night as I was finishing up some work. And I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? I am actually right now at this moment in time, I am every conversation that I'm in, every client that I'm working with is somebody I want to work with. And I was like, holy,
that's cool.
That's amazing.
That's really cool. I know. And, you know, also too, wherever you are at right now, whether you're not getting the clients you want or your schedule isn't what you want it to be, or you're working a full-time job and you want to quit the job. I can tell you right now, when you're in it, you feel like it's never going to change. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be working 1 million hours all the time. I just did a YouTube on this because I was like, oh my gosh, in 1 year, I have completely overhauled my schedule. I can't even believe it. And I can believe it. But I remember a year ago, I was like, and never, I'm just going to be working and on Zooms all day and never take a day off. Right. Or the clients, you're like, well, it's just part of it. You just got to work with people who are pain in the asses. But no, you get to say, what do I want my schedule to look like? Who do I want to work with? What, you know, am I a full-time entrepreneur? Do I do it part-time? Right. Do I work and I have this going on? Like you get to choose what that is. And you have to do the work though, to make it happen, right? It takes work to create change in your life, obviously, but just know whatever you want, it is totally possible. And right now it's not going to feel like it is. I promise you, like both of us have been on the other side of it. It is absolutely possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a great reminder that, what you want, like it doesn't have to look like somebody else's either. And I think that's a really good, like underlying point that you were making there is, and this is something I share with people when I have consultation, it's like, if you're going to do something consistently, that doesn't mean that it's every single day. It doesn't mean that it's multiple times a day. For some people it might, but you really have to decide, like you said, are you a full-time entrepreneur? Are you part-time? How many days a week are you working? What is actually being dedicated to building your business? And then be okay with that and then honor it, because it's going to release so much stress and anxiety around all the quote unquote, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. And it's like, no, you just do you. And it's okay if you only show up for your business 3 days a week, but you have to understand that it's not going to translate into someone that shows up for their business 5 days a week. Like it's going to look different and you have to be okay with that. But yeah, I think a lot of people get really wrapped up, especially in the network marketing space. They're like, I have to post 7 days a week, multiple times a day, 20 times in my stories. It's like, you're going to burn out. Cool it.
Simmer down.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you were at a point where you were like, oh gosh, I can't believe I didn't just quit. I kind of wanted to ask you, because with entrepreneurship, it's just ever evolving. Like, right? It's always something new and different, always a new challenge. And especially in the coaching space, there's a lot of pivoting that kind of has to happen on a regular basis. Has there ever been a moment that kind of stands out for you that you're like, whoa, I really almost quit, but then you didn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of them.
Yeah.
Get out the list. Well, you participated in the conference. So the conference was the first big one. So I just had this like, God, it was like, you need to do a conference. And so in my mind, I had something, you know, envisioning something. So started planning it, and it ended up being like $400,000. I thought it was going to be like $100,000. I'm like, okay. And I had the cash for it. Our company's never been in debt. Yeah. So, oh my God, I was kicking and screaming. I wanted to cancel it because of the room block, this whole thing. Anyway, it was so stressful. And I remember you have to have those people you can just go to. And I remember reaching out to Tara. She was supposed to MC. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, I just want to cancel. Do you think I can cancel? And she was like, she like spoke truth into me. She's like, you are Kimberly fucking Olson. You're going to pull this thing off. God equipped you for this. And I was like, yes, yes, I'm Kimberly, you know, like, okay. And I have others, you know, on speed dial for moments of weakness. But I heard this from Kelly Roach. She did a really good podcast on it. And I've done business coaching with her over the years. She did this whole, because she's been in business for a really long time. Like, she gets business. And she said that people don't realize that businesses have seasons just like the weather. And there is winter, spring, summer, fall. And when you're in summer, which a lot of us came into during the pandemic and everything was inflated, like growth and revenue, and everybody was buying digital products and network marketing products. She was like, that's summer. And you think it's going to be like that forever. And there is winter and things contract. And that if you know it's coming, then you just know it's part of the seasons of business. But when you don't know it's coming, you think something's wrong with you. You think your business is going to fall apart. You think no one's ever going to buy anything ever again. Like, the craziest thoughts come into your mind that you do want to quit, or you're afraid. You're like literally afraid. I can't even tell you how much fear I've experienced over the years around money when I have a multi-million dollar business and gripped with fear because I didn't understand. I didn't understand the principles and knowing that it's normal. It's completely normal to have ups and downs. There's this, I wish I had it to show you. I'll send it to you if I can find it, but there's this really funny meme and it's like the life of an entrepreneur. And it's like, I'm awesome. I'm going to do something. And then it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know what I was doing, but it worked. And then it's like, oh no, I suck. I quit. And then it's like, I love what I do. And it's like this whole thing. And it's like a day of an entrepreneur. And I was like, yes, that is literally one day of the facet of emotions that we go through. But again, I wish we would have had this conversation. You know, I would have had a conversation like this back then to know it was completely normal, because then I could have said, oh, they said this would happen and it is happening. I should not quit. This is just part of it. So yeah, it is 100% going to happen. There will be ups and downs. Expect them. And if you have a long ride of summer, soak it up, enjoy it, but put some money away for winter. That way you can just coast through winter and not be stressing.
Yeah. I wish that I had like heard that from the get-go as well. And honestly, I came into the network marketing space right after that like big bubble of the pandemic. So I came into everything after tons of people had just like come into a lot of money by accident, right? Like they didn't know how they did it. And so I started showing up to all of these team trainings and all the things. And I'm not like getting on anybody about anything. They did the best they could with what they knew how to do. But honestly, that's why I got into your coaching programs, is because what I was being able to access, I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. This person had a failing business, COVID hit, business boomed. Now they're training on how to build a business, yet they haven't sustained what happened in the big boom of the pandemic. I'm like, so to me, that's not a solid, sustainable business model if someone can't repeat what they've done, right? And they're training on it. And I remember vocalizing that to my upline at the time. And I'm like, I don't really get it. I think somebody else should be teaching, like coaching. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like they know what they're talking about. It kind of happened by accident. I mean, I don't think a lot of people appreciated my opinion, but you know, it's
how we get along
and my livelihood and what I was spending time and energy on. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Or like you said, like, your livelihood is connected to that, you know? And you know, for all of you, if you are learning, even maybe you see some people, Instagram's a great example. The digital marketing over there is huge right now. I think it'll continue to really be big this year and part of next year. But, you know, digital products, all the digital marketing, all the things you're seeing. The problem with that is if that product goes away or it gets saturated, do they know how to continue to build their business? And that's what we want to be mindful of. Even just building on one platform isn't necessarily a good idea. Or we want to make sure we're building an email list. Like, all those things are just good, sound business principles. So if you are someone who's maybe plugged into somebody's system or tool, just be mindful that it might be good for you to explore some other options to get some good business training. I'm listening to Why the Rich Get Richer by Robert Kiyosaki and then his tax person. And he was saying over and over again, if you don't know what it is from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, his rich dad kept telling him, invest in financial education, invest in financial education. And it's the same thing. Invest in business education if you really, truly like see yourself building for the long haul, because it will allow you to be able to build your business in the ups and downs. And we don't know what the future holds, right? So let's, you know, as much as we can, let's bulletproof our businesses.
Yeah. And I think so. What I was thinking while you were saying that is like, it really creates the pivot by having that business acumen where you are constantly kind of having one foot a little bit ahead of the game of like, okay, yes, maybe I'm promoting like a digital product, but that might not be around forever. And I do think you make a really good point that a lot of people don't realize that, like there's maybe not awareness around that. Mm-hmm. And so they're really falling into the same trap that a lot of network marketers for years have already done. Yes. Tying yourself to a product. And then what happens if that product gets discontinued? It's not popular anymore. People don't trust it, whatever. Like, then what? So that's it. It all dials back to the importance of a personal brand and understanding, why are you even in business to begin with? Like, are you only showing up on Instagram because you want to sell this digital product or because you want to build a business where people trust you and they want to buy from you no matter what you're selling? It's a big difference.
Amen. Preach it, sister. You just nailed it.
Just came to me. Just came to
me. I love it. It's great. Write that down. Like Ben Wilder.
Right? I know. Well, I love doing these podcasts because I will take notes and then I love going back and like writing up the emails and all the stuff. I'm so connected to having these conversations. And it's one of the biggest things that really lights me up is being able to bring a conversation like this to somebody that needs to hear the information. Cause I mean, I just like you, we all started somewhere where we didn't know what to do. We were doing it wrong. And I mean, listening to this podcast doesn't mean you're not going to do anything wrong, but we can at least show you a couple potholes and be like, you can avoid those.
Avoid these. Yes.
So what is something that we can all keep our eyes open for? Like, what do you have kind of in the works as, you know, 2024 rolls out? What are some exciting things? I mean, if you can share, I would love to.
I know. I was like, oh, I haven't even told my team this one yet, so I'll wait. I'm going to do something I've never done before that's really big, and it'll be a way for people to kind of experience the conference we did, but not in person. So I'll give you a little hint on that. And then I'm actually building out passive income funnels right now. And I'm most excited to be able to get to the point by the end of the year where I have revenue coming in from the passive income funnels and me live, because you know, I live launch everything. I would like to be at even. That would be like huge if I could get to a point. And then maybe next year, not maybe, I'm going to manifest by next year. I'm flipping that where most of the revenue coming in is from funnels and ads and automation. And it was interesting. I started working on this in the fall, and it's really going to be the focus this year, is to take stuff I've already done and to refresh it, dust it off, up-level the graphics and the assets. But instead of launching new things all the time, to say, what am I really good at? What are things that I've done before that I could pull out from the archives and relaunch? And it's so fun because you know this, you are marketing to a moving parade. The people who I launched that 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I got to update a little bit, but it's all different people. And then obviously you have some OGs that come in. So I'm just kind of having fun with like reinventing things versus like creating. Cause I feel like that can get exhausting.
100%. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It gets so exhausting.
Jesus, take the wheel. Like, it's
so true that, like, honestly, you have such a great brain for marketing and business that a lot of your trainings and the concepts that you have within them, like they are evergreen. They're not necessarily just trendy and okay for right now. Like they mm-hmm. last, they stand the test of time, whether it's selling a digital product on Instagram this year or building a coaching business on multi-platforms next year. Like the concepts are relevant yeah. no matter what. And yeah. I mean, I think that's probably where a lot of your success has really just been boomed from, is you have that sustainability kind of built into how you show up. And yeah. it's not really about trends.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So I am just so honored that you are here. To be able to just like have this conversation, you're on my own podcast. I can't even believe it. It's so cool. Like doing this podcast has just been one of the most enjoyable aspects of my business. And it's not even something that I kind of allowed myself to think would be what it is, like having all of these conversations and two episodes a week with people all the way. I'm like well into March. I'm almost to April at this point with like.
Amazing.
Yeah. So as we sign off, is there anything that you would like to share? We do have, I know Kimberly, you're going to be offering the Boss It Up Babe yes. book.
Great idea.
I went to that link and I was like, excuse me, what? This is free?
Like, yeah. There's like some bonuses that go with it. It's like a course. Like you can go in the back office and get some cool stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You guys got to go to the show notes, click it, download it, get the thing. Cause you're going to get the Boss It Up Babe book. You're going to get a whole guide on like crushing your brand, owning your space, attracting your ideal avatar, all the things, a lot of what we talked about today. And this is what people building a business struggle with. So mm-hmm. it's a must need yeah. tool. And yeah. honestly, Kimberly is like, she literally could have her own business library, like digital business library that she could just offer to people. There's an idea for it. Well, it's like,
I know.
It's like evolve, I guess, right? like, just add that to the list. But you seriously have such an insane amount of resources. And I'm just so grateful that you're willing to share all that you've learned and that you were willing to do it along the way, too. Like, you didn't wait until everything was perfect. And it was nice to be able to see the journey too.
Thank you. Yeah. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And all of you definitely subscribe to this podcast. Cause if you do, you'll get notified and things get lost in the shuffle, but stay close to Sarah. She really is. She's it. She walks the talk. She's authentic. If you just want to look at somebody who's like doing it, but also has the character and you know, the values of like someone you want to embody and learn from, it's definitely Sarah. So thank you for having me, Sarah. It means a lot to me.
Absolutely. Thank you for the kind words, making me blush over here. All right, y'all. Until next time, we'll see ya.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Branded, the podcast. Please rate and review. And for more information, visit socialjanemedia.com. I'll see you soon.